nor are you to be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Messiah. The greatest among you will be your servant. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. So the conclusion is, working in the kingdom of God is not about status. It's not about power. It's not about money, because those will lead to teachings that are unbiblical. Those will lead to self-gratification. Those will lead to titles for people, and we look up to them because they have a higher knowledge about God, or they have more money, and you see, they are so blessed by God because they are rich. This is not about it. And then we read in the next part of Matthew 23, we read about the woes. It's the woes about money, power, and status. It's about the woes to the Pharisees. And I do not want to read the whole chapter, but I want to read just the first three, to just give an example. Woe to you, teachers of the law and the Pharisees, you hypocrites! You shut the door of the kingdom of heaven in people's faces. You yourself do not enter, nor will you let those enter who are trying to. They judge everyone who does not follow their law to the letter. They will say, you are wrong, you are not going to heaven. But they themselves can't even make it. Eh? They themselves will not enter heaven. But they prevent others to enter because their judgment is on so many details of the law. And then in verse 14 is often skipped in many translations, many sources of the Bible. I will tell you about verse 14 later, but I will skip it for now. Woe to you, teachers of the law and the Pharisees, you hypocrites! You travel over land and sea to win a single convert. And when you have succeeded, you make them twice as much a child of hell as you are. So they teach their converts to be even worse than them, to be even more fanatic about the law than them. That's their goal. So two woes, and there are in total 7 or 8 woes, depending on which source you're using, which Bible translation you're using. Today I'm going to have to assume there are 8. So verse 14, which is skipped in many translations, will also be there. But I want to have a look at all of them. And I will tell you later why I included that one. So there are 7 or 8 woes. In verse 13, we see that the Pharisees prevent others to enter heaven. And in verse 14, that is the missing verse, but there are other parts in John and in Luke where this one is mentioned, but not in this list. It's about misusing mourning widows. Instead of having compassion for those who lost their husbands, they use that moment to show off that they are good and in prayer, and they do a very long prayer about the death of that man. But in that they did that for their own pride and not to help the widows. They misuse mourning widows to show off. In verse 15, we just read that they make converts a fanatic. They even their converts, they become more fanatic than they are about the law and executing it. In verse 16, we read, we did not read it, but you can read for yourself. The Pharisees, they make wrong rules and they focus on riches. You see that if you swear by the gold, it is valid, but if you swear by the temple, it's not valid, while the temple is making the gold holy. They make wrong rules and they focus on the gold or the offering instead of the altar and the temple. In verse 23, we read the next woe, and it is about to follow the rules to the letter, but they forget about mercy. They do not show mercy to the ones who make mistakes, and they condemn them. In verse 25, we read another woe about that they are clean outside, but inside they are dirty. We just heard the children's story about that you need to be beautiful inside and not from the outside. But they focus on the outside, but inside they are corrupt, they are dirty. And the seventh one is that they show hypocrisy and wickedness. Inside, that is also related to the inside part that is dirty. Inside, they are wicked, but outside, they show beauty. It's very hypocrite. And inside, they are wicked. They are lawless. It's another translation of wickedness. Lawless, without law. They promote the law, but inside, they are without law. And without law, you will have war. And in 29, we see that they persecute those who expose them. Jesus says in there that we send prophets and to you, but you persecute them because they expose their true nature and they don't want that. So the Pharisees are being blamed of persecuting those who expose them. And in the end, Jesus exposed them and they persecuted Jesus. In the end, the Pharisees, they crucified him. They set up all the people to crucify Jesus. So eight woes. The one in verse 13 is not mentioned in our Bible reading or in the NIV, but it's present in some other translations about the widows. Why do I focus on the eight? Because this is what happens when money, power, and status are the driving factors in working in God's kingdom. But God has other requirements for people who want to work in God's kingdom. You read that in Matthew 5. It's about the Beatitudes. And there are eight Beatitudes. And they map quite well on these eight woes. If you look at the first woe, they prevent others to enter heaven. But God says, blessed are the poor in spirit, not the ones who know everything and judge others. You cannot go. It's about the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It's about being humble and not showing off that you know so much, but poor in spirit, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And the other woe is about misusing mourning widows, while the second beatitude is blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. It's about comfort. It's not about showing off that you can have beautiful prayers about mourning. It's about comfort those who are mourning. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And the third one, to make converts fanatics, well, God says that the blessed are the meek. You are not fanatic, you are meek, for they will inherit the earth. It's not about you become even more fanatic than your teacher. It's about becoming more and more meek, following God, because they will inherit the earth. The fourth woe is about making wrong rules and the focus on riches. While God wants us to hunger and thirst, not for money, not for wrong rules, but for righteousness, things that are right. Blessed are those who are hunger and thirsty for righteousness, for they will be filled. And the fifth one is to follow rules but forget mercy. Well, working in God's kingdom requires to be merciful. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. And the sixth one is about clean outside but inside stay dirty. And then the requirement of God in the sixth beatitude is to blessed are the pure in heart. It's about the internals. Are you pure in heart? Not from the outside, but inside. Because only they will see God. If you are pure in heart, you will see God. That's what God asks for us in his kingdom. And the seventh, the Pharisees, they showed hypocrisy and wickedness. But God asks us to be pure in heart, but also to be a peacemaker. Blessed are the peacemakers. Not lawlessness, but making peace. Lawlessness causes war, but we ought to be peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. It's about the inside, our heart attitude, all of these things, poor in spirit, mourning, meek, hunger and thirst for righteousness. It's all from the heart, from the inside. It's nothing about outside appearance. And the last one, persecute those who expose them. And that is what the Pharisees did. But one of the requirements in God's kingdom is blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, to expose unrighteous things. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The Beatitudes, they map wonderfully to the woes. What is a false religion? What is a true worker of God in his kingdom? Poor in spirit, mourning, meek, hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful, pure in heart, peacemakers. Everything inside, everything inside. It's not about looking great from the outside. It's about the inside. And that's why we read in John this part, John 4, true worshippers. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. Working in God's kingdom, worshiping God in spirit and truth. God is spirit and his worshippers must worship in the spirit and in truth. It's not about dressing up. It's not the appearance, the outside, but the spirit inside. The spirit is living in us. It's not about the human rules that the Pharisees invented. It's about that's outside, but it's about the truth of God inside us. God's word, that is what should lead us. No other rules outside that. We don't need to dress up in front of God. And now it's Christmas time. Many people, they used to go to church only on Christmas because it's, you know, that's good to go, right? But that is again appearance. See, we go to church at least once per year on Christmas, but it's about the inside. Why are we worshiping together? Why are we a church together? It's because of the spirit in us. It's because we want to worship him with our hearts, not with our appearance. And Christmas in this world, it's all about appearance. It's all about making it cozy, making a Christmas tree, lights, eating, having a wonderful family time. It's all about the outside. But what is Christmas really about is about the inside. It's about what Jesus did for us. Jesus came to the earth as a baby in a poor condition. And that's what we think about with Christmas. It's not about Santa Claus. It's not about Christmas trees, although a Christmas tree is pretty. But it's about worshiping Jesus, who came to the earth for us, not to have a wonderful life, but to have a life of a servant. No status, no power, no money, but a servant towards God with a meek and humble heart. That's what Jesus did. And he came and lived his life, showing us how to live with God, and then died for our sins. That is what true Christmas is about, to realize that that person came to the earth, the Son of God, to die for us. Let's pray together. Father God, in this Christmas season, Lord, help us to be worshippers from the heart. Lord, help us to focus on our inside qualities, on the inside qualities that you give us, Lord, through your Spirit. Help us to worship you with our hearts, not with our appearance, Lord. Help us to work in your kingdom and look at the qualities that you want from us. Lord, help us to be meek. Help us to be humble, to be pure in heart, Lord. And all these things that we have heard today. Lord, I want to ask us to guide us, Lord, to worship you in spirit and truth. Just you, Lord, in our hearts. No pride, no money, no status, no power, but just you. help us to live our life focusing on the right things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Elmer, for a nice message. So true meaning about the Christmas. Yeah, now we are going to have our next song. So I hear